Securities and Advisory Services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing great. This is Dennis O'Brien from the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's having a great morning. We're going to have some lightning strikes out there, so be very, very careful. A couple of events where I was going to go to have gotten canceled, and I feel sorry for the people in downtown Mystic at the Arts Show. They were putting up their tents this morning, and I went down to get some coffee at Henny Penny, and it was pouring, and the poor people were trying to get their stuff into the booths, and I was like, oh, boy. So hopefully they'll get 3 or 4 hours of just overcast and be able to get the show on the road. Hope everybody's doing well. It was a crazy week this week. What the heck is going on in the markets? Friday, we got blasted pretty good because Turkey is going down the tubes with the dictator Erdogan, who's doing everything he can in the Hugo Chavez model of destroying Turkey's economy. And he's also picking a fight with our president, Donald Trump, which probably is not a good idea for Mr. Erdogan. I hope the Turks wake up and rescue their economy and country before Erdogan, the dictator, causes the same ruin and starvation that Chavez created in Venezuela and the success of Maduro, who has continued it. Do you think the Cubans who have infiltrated the Venezuelan security forces will be able to help you when the real uprising comes? And it is coming. It will come. You can just starve people, take away everything they own, destroy your economy, steal everything you get your hands on before it's going to come back and get you. And hopefully the Turks wake up too, because they're going down the same road with this guy. I heard this guy do an interview on currency and economics and everything. I mean, it was like listening to a third grader. He does not have a clue on economics and whatnot, and he's ruining the country. And I hope the Turks figure it out. By the way, when I was listing my top 10 and bottom 10 of industry groups on iShares, remember, I would last month or two, I'd say, oh, there's Turkey again. Oh, there's Turkey in the bottom of 235 industry groups or countries. Turkey. Well, guess what? It's turned into a real turkey. It's not good. It's not good. And our markets got hit when Trump finally had enough and put on some, tariffs on them and whatnot. But he's not going to take it. You start kidnapping our people, you start undermining us in every which way over there in the region. We're gonna answer back. We're not going to take it anymore. Totally different philosophy than in the past. Because of this turmoil, the rates on the 10-year Treasury, and I talk about the 10-year Treasury a lot because that's where all your mortgage rates come from. All your fixed-rate mortgages come off the 10-year treasury. They're set by the markets, okay? And the rates on the 10-year mortgage treasury have come down this week, which is nice to see because it eases off the rates a little bit. And on a side note, because the real estate market here in Eastern Connecticut is starting to heat up a little bit, okay, finally, we're 30% behind the rest of the country, but guess what? We're finally starting to wake up. And my advice to all of you is that if you're going to Zillow to look at the price of your house, you are being seriously, seriously misled, because in my area, Zillow is probably 20 to 30% under the market. That's how bad it is. So if you go to some of your houses may be over, maybe at this, close to. All I can speak of is from my experience is that Zillow is way, way, they should not be putting prices on houses if they can't be at least accurate within 5-10%. In some cases, I think they're off 20 or 30% undervaluing houses because of what's going on. So stop immediately, ignore their numbers, and don't even use them. I think they're morons, and whatever algorithm you're using, whatever formula you're using, please stop paying attention to them and call your local realtor or my guy, okay? And just contact me and I'll give you his name and number. In Mystic and Stonington, houses under $300,000 right now are getting multiple bids. Wow. Let me repeat that. Houses under $300,000 are getting multiple bids in Stonington, Mystic. Houses up to $500,000 are selling in one day. One day. The prices are much more than Zillow, and which has failed to keep up with local conditions. Why is this happening? What happened? You know, this is like a thunderbolt. It's been building, supply's down. What's going on? Why am I talking about real estate? Well, I'm interested in anything that affects you because whether you're retired or not, many times your house is your biggest asset, right? And if you're young and looking to buy, this is the market you're facing right now, so just be aware of it. So why is this happening? What's going on? And I've asked a lot of people and talked to as many different people as can, got a lot of different opinions. Number one, I think the millennials, not millenniums, millennials, thanks, John, are starting to have babies, and they're getting married and buying a house. It's part of the deal. So the millennial woman, early 30s, mid-30s, put it off, job, career, or couldn't find, maybe the right mate or whatever. Well, guess what? They're starting to have babies, getting married, sometimes in that order, sometimes not. And they want to buy a home because, the nesting thing is kicking in. And let me tell you, it's a very big group. The millennials are over 90 million, and they dwarf the baby boomers. Okay? Very, very big group. And remember, they have effect on everything. My mortgage lady tells me that she can take their application over the phone. This boggles my mind, okay? All right, because I'm a little older than, obviously a lot older than they are. I have three boys that are millennials. She says that she can take their application over the phone, get their docs emailed to her on income verification and statements, okay? Get their rates, fund their mortgage with email signatures like DocuSign within 30 days. And here's the best part. They never have met. Basically, they get a mortgage for $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, and they have never met the mortgage person. I said, no. I challenged her on it. She says, no. They are just, it's another click, click, click to them. They are so comfortable with technology that they don't need to go into the bank branch and do it like we used to in the old days. Click, click, click. So I'm listening to her, and I'm just amazed by it. Just absolutely amazed. It's incredible. They have millennials have no interest in shaking hands and looking you in the eye, I guess. I don't know. Just another online transaction. Wow. Jill, my mortgage person, says she doesn't meet 90% of them. I looked at her like, what the? Look on my face. You got to be kidding me. Okay, what are the other reasons for this big price jump? Okay. And we'll talk about it on the next section because I'm getting the signal that we're going into commercial break. Well, we're talking about local real estate and big, big increases on the $500,000 or less is going on out there. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more. If you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, go to www.obrienretire.com or come visit me at exit 90 off I-95. I'm right off there next to the gas station in the Taylor Realty building. But give me a call first to make sure I'm there because I'm always coming and going. We'll talk to you in a few minutes on 94.9 News Now. Back in a few. Thanks. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, back for the second part of our show on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. Our phone number, if you'd like to call in, is 860-464-9490. Did I do that right, Chris? Thank you. All right, if anybody would like to call in, if you like my Retirement Ten Commandments, go to my website at obrienretire.com. Click the button. I'll send it right to you in a PowerPoint. It's really cool. People like it. So anyway, we're talking about real estate. What's going on? Houses under $500,000 in the Stonington area, anyway, are selling in a day. What happened? Well, supply dried up. the millennials are starting to have babies, getting married, looking, nesting instinct, they're starting to buy homes and everything else. So that's part of it. But the other reason, now I got a guy in the neighborhood who's a high-level executive with Harley Davidson, but he's very smart. He grew up in Fairfield. He's been up here 20, 25 years, raised his kids up here. But he's all over New England. He's a regional guy, whatever. He's very smart guy. I was listening to what he said. And he said, listen, he goes, the reason for, he thinks the price jump here is because of the Trump tax law, which you recall limits the deductions for property taxes and mortgage interest to $10,000 a year. And to many of you, that sounds like a lot. Who the heck has that much and everything else? But you got to bear in mind, and he points out very correctly, that the average house down in Fairfield might be million, million and a half, 2 million or more. Greenwich, 2 million or more easily, right? He says a lot of these guys and gals are retiring, and they may have a house, say, for a million and a half, and they still have a mortgage on it. Okay, and they're still paying relatively high property taxes, not by rate, but because of the appreciation. So many of these cases, they have $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in deductions in the past based on their mortgage interest plus the property taxes. Okay? Now, the Trump tax bill has knocked that out. They can't deduct more than $10,000, and they're about to retire. They're facing poor infrastructure. Roads are nuts down there. I hate driving down there, especially during the week. Get me out of here. Poor infrastructure, crowded roads, all right? And their neighbors are all putting their houses up, too, because they're being limited, too. So I think what's happening is, and he kind of put this in my ear, and I think I agree with him, is that I think we're going to see additional demand for people selling the house down there, coming up paying cash here, lower property taxes, no mortgage interest, roads that are decent, not super crowded, and limited supply of houses up here. Does that make sense to you? I am speculating, okay? Pure speculation on my part, But I think that that's what's going on here. And that's a big deal. That's a big deal because if that spreads through the coast here in eastern Connecticut, moves up, 395, I hear on the coast of Rhode Island, the houses are going very quickly up to $2 to $3 million. So this is going on through, okay, and now it's starting to affect Connecticut. Now, if we get a change in Hartford where they make sense in terms of what they're doing and taxing and spending and starting to, share things a little bit better, we could really go into a super boom, okay? The other thing is, and somebody else pointed this out, and I thought about it, first discounted it, but now I think they're onto something. In southeastern Connecticut, EB is bringing in a lot of young engineers, okay? They are forming households, too, and that's creating demand locally, too. So all that FISA demand that went away a few years ago, especially on the higher end, is now coming back with EB demand with these younger engineers and their families, because a lot of them are 3-5 years out of college, out of engineering school. They're starting to form households. They make a good buck. EB pays very, very well for these guys, and I think that's what's going on, too. So that's a big deal, and I think it's very, very, very important. Well, let's talk about some of the cases I've seen this week, because it's been a very interesting week, crazy week, actually. A lot of you are coming in with your statements, okay? And most, as you know, my business model rejects packaged products, which are very expensive, whether they're front-end loaded funds or big commission annuity products. I don't do them. I think they're dumb. I think everyone benefits except the client, especially the salesperson that sold it. So many of you have been bringing in your statements for these products, were sold to you, and then left you out to dry, they see you later. We don't believe in that. We believe our clients should deserve an in-depth review of their family history, where you as a family stand, including your children and grandchildren, and review of all your assets, both financial and real estate and whatnot. Sometimes couples run into a really aggressive salesperson who has them take something called an in-service rollover out of their 401k. What the heck is an in-service rollover? An in-service rollover is a case where you're still working for the company, okay? But the company allows you, while you're working there, to take money out of your 401k and put it into an IRA, okay? All right? Is this a good thing or a bad thing? Well, it depends, okay? Some 401k choices are horrible, okay? They push the company stock, which is very poor in some cases, okay? And if you find a real good investment pro that can help you buy, you know, very good companies outside that plan, it can be a good thing. The problem comes when a product pusher urges you to do an in-service rollover and sticks you into a high-cost product, like a non-traded REIT, front-ended load, mutual funds that'll take you years to recover, or even in a case, the worst case is a big front-end commissioned annuity. Okay? When that product pusher has you do it, it's always, almost always, not a good idea. Okay? In the case of Electric Boat with the parent company General Dynamics, many of you have done extremely well in your SSIP, which is the fancy name of their 401k, because many of you loaded up on General Dynamics stock when it was low and have done extremely well through the years. So that was a case where you didn't have to move the money out because the money within the plan had a choice that has done extremely well. Till recently, where it got knocked down, but it needed to be. It had run so far, so fast that, you know, it's not surprising that that happened. So, you know, the bottom line here is most of the time in service rollovers, I don't do them. I like keeping the money separate at the 401k. But there are times when you look and you go, these are very, very poor plan, or the company's shaky. Well, the person knows they're probably not going to be there, and maybe you can justify doing it. I generally don't. I like to keep the money separate there. What I do think you should do is any of your old 401ks, definitely do not roll into that one if you think the choices are horrible. But sometimes these plans are expensive depending on who's doing them and everything else. Okay? So you should roll the old ones into your own IRA, and we can control the investment choices and stay away from the product pushers, okay? That's just something I feel very, very strongly about. And I came across it this week where someone actually told me they took $30,000 in service thing and bought one of these non-traded REITs or whatever they're called. And I looked at it, and it's just sitting there. It's just sitting there. And he missed the whole market, and his company stock that he was in, it's done okay. It's not horrible and everything else. But the choices were there where he could have been in the S&P 500, probably done much, much better and not incurred nearly half the cost. And then the salesman came back and tried to hit him again and do another $30,000, another $30,000, because guess what? It's a one-time hit for the salesperson, okay? So please be aware. He looked at me and, what do you think? And I go, I wouldn't have done it. But I said, you know, he says, what I do now? And I said, well, let's take a look at all the statements and see what's liquid, what the cost would be to liquidate. Because I had another guy come in, and he has an annuity he's had for 8 years, and I got to see what the back-end charges are. If it's 1% or 2%, maybe we can justify liquidating it. But he bought one a year or two, and back-end charges could be 5%, 6%, 7%, 8%. No. We can't do it. I can't justify liquidating that. Because that's too high of a hurdle. We're going to have to let some time go by and hold on to it. Because I don't do anything unless it makes sense economically to do. And so, you know, people stand across the desk, and sometimes they understand what you're saying, and sometimes, you know, they're trusting you to do the right thing. So that's a big, big responsibility to me, and it's very, very important that it's things done the right way. So the bottom line for most of you, no, unless you have a pro that doesn't sell product. Now, why are there so many product pushers in the industry? And I think it's for several reasons. Number one, it's a mental thing. Some of these people just could not handle judging, picking, doing the stock choices, running portfolios like I do. They just mentally can't do it. Number two, a lot of them haven't been trained. They were trained to gather assets, put it in the whatever products they are, and move on, accumulate assets. So there's a lot of reasons for that, and to make these wise, timely investments in industries and companies that will dominate for the next several decades takes a lot of work. You got to know what you're doing. You got to work very, very hard on it. And some people, let's be truthful, a lot of people don't want responsibility for anything. So they can push off the responsibility. It's a lot of work for me to do, but I love it. You know, it's one of my favorite things in the job is putting together the portfolios and finding great companies run by visionaries. It's wonderful. I mean, nothing can be better than helping clients be in the right companies and making money through the years. I'm not talking about short-term trading. I don't do any of that. Anybody who trades short-term is out of their minds or bored. Find something else to do. It's not a smart strategy. Maybe 1 in 10,000 can do it successfully, and they usually wind up drinking or doing something else because the pressure is too much. It's just too much. And I'll tell you the story of a guy who called me on our next break who is doing that. And I call him a moron. I've known this guy since high school. And I call him a moron, extremely successful guy, strong ego, sports agent. And we'll talk about him a little bit in the next thing. All right, before we go, I want to remind you, you can call me anytime at my office, 860-415-9614. You can email me at dobryan@ifgrr.com. Or you can go to my website, www.obryanretire.com. If you want to start listing out your assets, just go up to the retirement planning section, download the input sheet or type into it, and then email it to me, and we'll make an appointment and go through everything. You can meet with me as many times as you want. The meter is not running. We'll see you in a few minutes, and thank you for listening to 94.9 News Now. We'll be back in a few. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, exit 90, Mr. Connecticut. Hope everybody's doing well. We are on 94.9 News Now. Hope everybody's doing well. This is the Retirement Life and Investing Show. And I was telling a story about a guy in Arizona who called me this week. I've known him since high school. He is a very interesting character. Besides his law degree, he is a sports agent. Yeah. And he is something else, I'll tell you. So he calls me up. He says, Danny, I'm coming up your way. And he still has that heavy, heavy New York accent, even though he's lived in Arizona for how many, 30 years and everything else. And he says, I'm coming up your way. And I told him, I'm going to California next week because the IFG is having their annual conference. And so I'm going there to get to meet everybody and talk about what's going on in the company. So we arrange the dates, and I'll probably see him after we get back. But he says, yeah, I want to talk to you about my accounts. And I said, all right, what's going on with you? And he goes, I got 10 accounts, and I'm having a hard time keeping track of everything. And I go, why do you have 10 accounts? Well, I got this kid and that kid, Ma. I go, oh, my God, you got to start consolidating, my friend. I don't even know if they're in the same company or they're just all over the place or what he's doing. And then he says to me, I'm shorting the financials. I can't say symbols. I'm shorting the financials. I'm long this. I'm buying calls. I'm selling put. You know, he's going on and on and on. I'm shaking my head going, what's a sports agent doing, like, all the short-term, on-the-screen trading crap over 10? I couldn't keep track of it, and I do it for a living. How the heck is he doing his job, living a life? And his son, I guess, is a very good baseball player down there, so he's always off on that. And his daughter's a fantastic painter. Her stuff at 16, he's showing it to me. I'm like, you know, fantastic. And I go, what are you doing? And he goes, that's what I want to talk to you about. I'm like, all right, you come up here. I can tell already what's going to happen is he's going to start going on and on and on, and I'm going to call him a moron. I'm going to tell him you're an idiot. I go, stop doing it and get real and hire a pro to help you, either me, someone down by you, whatever. Stop trading. Stop it, stop it, stop it. And the funny thing is, the stronger their ego, the more successful the man or woman, the more they're convinced they're right, the worse trader they become. You know, it's almost invariable. It's You know, it's just part of it. So it'll be an interesting meeting. I will let you know how it turns out, because I think it's very, very interesting talking to people in different fields, different areas of the country, different philosophies. And he reached out for a reason. I think he knows down deep he's not doing the right thing. So he's probably thinking, eh, let me pick Denny's brain, you know. So who knows? We'll see what happens with that, because, you know, it's just part of the business, listening to different people and their situations. One of the things I always tell people is, should I consolidate? And I tell people, please consolidate, simplify, especially get into your 60s, simplify, simplify, simplify your life. Get everything consolidated. Find a pro, okay, and work hand-in-hand with the pros. And have pros around you, the state attorneys, you know, investment counsel, whatever it is. And I can do that for you if we click and we're simpatico, okay? But if you have a guy, start working, consolidate, consolidate, simplify, simplify. So that's what I do in my business, and that's why I think I'm effective, is because I simplify things. I keep things very, very focused on what I'm trying to do, and I try not to create too much clutter in the portfolios and the things I'm trying to do. It's very, very important. You know, these days you can consolidate, you can have everything online. Now, I know some of you love paper. I get it. You know, and a friend of mine came in the other day with a huge pile in a bag. I mean, it must have been 12 inches high, maybe 9 inches. 12 inches? 9 inches? I'm not sure. Of paperwork. And I went through it. It took me about 3 hours. I went through about it. About 95% of it he could have had shredded, okay? But he held on to everything because he wasn't sure what he was going to need. But, you know, these are situations where... I also came across a situation where we had a 2.5-hour meeting, numerous phone calls, and we discovered that a client's IRAs were being held in a pooled account run by a pension company. So he had worked for a company, the pension TPA had the pension, and then he rolled it to an IRA, but the IRA's money were also pulled, okay, which is very, very, very unusual. And we had a hard time finding it at first at the custodian because there were no individual accounts, which was kind of scaring us because he wants to change advisors. And we were trying to find the actual account and account number. And after 3, 4, 5 phone calls, 2.5-hour meeting, we finally found the right guy. He told us it was pooled. The money's there. Thank God. And so... but, you know, it's a funny thing because IRA stands for Individual Retirement Account. Individual. In an IRA, you should have your own account held by a third-party custodian, okay? You don't take compilation statements from the pension plan. You get your own statements from the custodial. You may have a trust with a trustee that's printing out statements. You want the custodial, the third party. In my case, it's Pershing, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, third party, Bank of America, whoever has it. You want those statements, not just the compilations, because that is like, you know, anybody can print a compilation. You have to have your actual statement with your actual account number. Okay, very unusual situation. I haven't seen that before, except once before. And, boy, it's a pain in the ass dealing with the pension to get the money out of there. On purpose, I might add. On purpose. But that's okay. We'll get it out of there. So we were very relieved. It was an emotional up-and-down meeting for 2.5 hours. So we figured out what was going on. Needless to say, when the client figured out how the assets were being pulled, he was not a happy camper because he knew that he wanted it individually and everything else. When he went back to the pension people, they said, well, that saves you money. But I looked at the fees and it wasn't saving them any money. It just confuses everything. And all he's getting is compilation statements. That's not good. That's not good. You want your custodial statements with the IRA in your name. So we're going to change that and get the money out of there, hopefully. So whatnot. All right. Another story. Young man comes in my office yesterday. Nice young man. I really like him. Grew up in upstate New York. I think he's about 22, helping out his aunt and her business. Get talking. I said, well, he goes, I need to talk to you about, you know, learning how to run finances and whatnot. I said, how much student debt loan you have? He said, about $10,000. I said, well, it's not too bad. I've heard a lot worse. Okay. What else you got? And he just kind of fidgeted around. You know how people go like, credit cards? Yeah. He goes, I have about $6,000 in credit card debt. And he's 22 years old. So how'd that come to be? And he goes, well, he goes, when I was 19, they sent me a card with a $5,000 credit line. And I went on trips and didn't realize that if I don't pay it back right away, I'm going to get charged a lot of interest. And now it's ballooned up to $6,000 and everything else. And you know, and I've talked on previous shows, the debt industry wants to hook these young people. And so they'll send credit card solicitations. They run that cute little actress out there who was married to that other actor, Ben, what's his name? Ben something. You know who she is? She comes on for Capital One and she says, what's in your wallet? Jennifer, yeah, whatever. And I won't say her last name, but you know who she is and everything else. Well, Jennifer, she's after your kids and your grandkids. Tell her to go to hell. There are no words, okay? What she's doing is wrong. Because credit card, and they're aiming it at these young people, and they're setting these solicitations out. And my young friend, $6,000 debt at 22 years old, where were his parents to protect them from this industry? And that's what these kids need. They need protection, okay? And if I had my way and I was president of the United States, I would make it illegal to send a credit card solicitations out to anybody who's under 25 because they're too dumb to know what they're doing until they're 25 years old. That's just the way it is. Okay? Now, so a lot of you parents are out there, grandparents, you're telling the kids and protecting them, all right? But they know that there's a lot of out there that they can get a hold of and really, you know, get to. So we'll talk in the next section. We have a few more stories for you, and we'll talk a little bit more. This is Dennis O'Brien from O'Brien Retirement, and we will talk about a whole bunch of stuff. But if you like my Retirement 10 Commandments or set up an appointment, go to my website, O'BrienRetire.com, or call me at the office, 860-415-9614, and we'll talk a lot more. We'll see you in a few minutes on 94.9 FM News Now. Bye. Brothers Band, Jessica, number one album in the country, 1973. Yeah, I'm an old guy, but what the heck, right? Hey, Dickie Betts, the guy that wrote that song, is now touring around. He sounds a lot better than he did a few years ago. I hear he stopped drinking, so I hope that's true, because the amount of talent that band and that guy had in his body were just absolutely incredible. Every time I hear that song, I still smile. I know I'm old, but I don't care. Hey, anybody out there know what an earmark is? An earmark. You've heard the word maybe in passing, especially if you follow politics a little bit. But in the early 80s, okay, one of the K Street, and that's where all the lawyers and lobbyists are, figured out a way with a couple of his congressional friends, figured out a way to put earmarks, which are special little gifts that they can give to each congressional district. You know, your local college need a gym, you know, little senior center, little earmarks. Years ago, they couldn't do that. Leadership would not allow them to put these little things in these little districts. Everything had to be, you know. But they figured out a way in the early 80s to put earmarks in all these bills, okay? And these little projects, somebody told me the gym at Boston College was an earmark. That's pretty funny, actually. Well, the colleges got wind of this, and they started hiring this lobbyist in the 80s who helped them with college buildings, and eventually you know, the lobbying went into loans for college and whatnot, which enabled the colleges really pretty much to charge anything they wanted because the feds, they were lobbied by the feds, by the colleges, to open the spigots on the loan machine, which the banks were all too happy to help Junior with the overpriced college tuition and whatnot by charging their overpriced loans. And too many juniors, your son or daughter, went academic, okay, and wound up getting themselves into big, big debt. While and you have too many of them going to college because they thought that's where the money would be. The job stagnated, and the salary stagnated, and Junior had to live at home for a long time, and housing starts got delayed and whatnot. While many of the jobs in the trades went begging. My point, college, in my view, is overpriced by 200 to 400%. So if the college is charging 50 grand a year, in my mind, college should be 8, 10, 12 grand a year. That's what it should be, okay? It's totally overpriced. And anybody who takes a loan to finance it is a moron and will regret it for the rest of their life. And I know that's very strong language and I shouldn't talk that way. I'm sorry, I've seen so many parents and kids struggle with the mistakes they made when the kid was 17 years old. Do not, if you don't have the money for the $40,000, $50,000 school, and I don't care if they cut the price down to $25,000, $30,000, do not saddle your kid with overpriced loans for overpriced college. Okay? Do not do it. And people argue with me, I don't care. If you don't have any money, your parents can't afford to send you, go to Avery Point, go to Three Rivers, go to work, hustle. You can graduate 3, 4, 5 years. If you do it the right way, you can go up to stores and have all your credits count, and you can graduate with no debt. Okay? You can do it. All right? Because if you graduate with no debt, okay, you're ahead of a lot of these kids out there that come in my offices and they have these huge, huge debts. And they have a job that doesn't make enough money and they have to live with mom and dad. And it's just, they were making decisions about big money things before they were able to make a good judgment on it. So please, please, please be very, very careful with this, okay? Did you notice this getting back to Turkey? No, I don't want to talk about Turkey. Hey, did you notice that Pfizer very quietly hit 41 this week? And I remember I mentioned Pfizer last week made a very quiet announcement about how they are going back to the basics, stop buying companies and stripping everything out like a private equity firm, and put your money into companies or projects or hiring that does basic research. And guess what? Pfizer's starting to get approvals for things. And the stock went over and hit 41 very quietly, getting back to the things that made Pfizer a great company. And the reason I'm talking about Pfizer is they have the local plant here. A lot of people either work there or work there now or know somebody that does. They have made a huge contribution to our community. We wish they were as big as they are, but it is what it is. I hear rumors that some stuff is left, but they might be consolidating other stuff in. But if they get back to basic research, I think Groton could possibly grow again, and I sure hope it does. So, you know, that's very, very important. So, you know, as the show winds down, I just want to leave you with a few thoughts and let you know that you can come visit me and run things by me on your personal stuff as many times you want. You'll never get charged for an appointment. I don't believe in that. Somebody's worrying about what I'm charging them per hour. And the industry's moving to this model, by the way. They want to charge everybody per hour. But if you're worrying about what I'm charging you per hour, and I'm worrying about it, and everybody's worrying about it, we really can't. Sometimes it takes 2, 3, 4 meetings, all right? And I can't do more than 2 meetings a day. If I have a 2-hour session in the morning and a 2-hour session in the afternoon, I'm toast. I'm toast because I really like to study your stuff, and I can't do more than that, and plus run my portfolios and everything. Preferably, I just like to do one a day, and I don't care if it's the weekends. I can do that, too, because my kids are grown, so it's okay. But I think it's very, very important for you folks out there that have stuff everywhere or have a lot of money in the bank that's sitting there, probably earning a negative return after inflation and taxes, to come talk and see if you can up that a little bit without taking too much risk, okay? But the thing I do know is this, and I feel very strongly, if you buy all these packaged products, okay, you have no chance of outperforming the markets, okay, because the fees, the payback, the commissions that were charged you are too high, and it's going to eat into your returns. It's like a silent killer, by the way. It's going to eat into your returns, and you have no chance, no chance. At least with me or a pro, you have the chance to buy an Amazon early on or another one of these companies early on. You know, put a little bit in and usually have a chance. A lady was telling me this week, she came in the office, she says, back, and I remember very specifically when Facebook went public. It came public at 38, ran up to mid-40s, and then they crashed it down to 18 and stuff like that. And she was telling me, she was calling her, I forget what firm he was with, but she was calling, want to buy some Facebook. No, that's a fad. No. My friends all use it. Everything's catching on. The kids used it. Now everyone's starting to use it. And I think, you know, this Zuckerberg might be a visionary guy, blah, 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 blah. Guy said, no, and he talked her out of it, right? So she went to someone else and bought it and stuff. And, of course, it's gone up, you know, 10 times since she bought it. And she was like, What's with these guys? I go, because it's not in the package product model. He doesn't have a clue about individual stocks. Because all these young kids in the business, they're not taught. They're not taught. And they don't have the confidence, you know? So I was telling her my story about when I was with another firm and that happened. And Facebook went into the low 20s. I called everybody. Said, you know, this company, I got a feeling this guy's good. This is a very interesting model, and it kind of ties in together and whatnot and everything else. And I got more fight and resistance from people on that one, on that call than anything else I've ever done. And to this day, people hate that company. And I get it with the privacy thing. Don't get me wrong. But when you have a company with 2 billion users, okay, that are talking across national lines with an artificial intelligence translation thing in there, so I can talk to my daughter-in-law Agnes's parents that only speak Hungarian because the artificial intelligence thing is on. I mean, this thing is amazing. I don't think people really appreciate the town sites where people can ask for advice on a plumber. They can get their news from it, whether it be fake or not, okay? I think he's spending a lot of money trying to mitigate the fake stuff. But people still hate this company, and I'm just looking. Is it jealousy? Is it just, you know, they read something that a short seller planted in the business publication about how traffic is crashing at Facebook or anything else? Of course it's going to change. You know, the novelty wears off. But you know and I know every... most of the, especially the women in this country, they like to see the pictures of the wedding, of the new baby, of their neighbors. People love to connect, and he has tapped into that. It's not going anywhere. And if anybody threatens him in terms of a new way of doing it, he goes and buys them. You know? He goes and buys them. So I just find it fascinating that you got someone that's in your face. He definitely is a visionary. I mean, he's not warm and lovable, but he's definitely a visionary. He's been sitting there growing this thing, okay? And people are still saying, oh, no, it's just a fad and everything. Hey, you got 2 billion users, and you're calling it a fad? You got to screw loose because this isn't a fad. This is a whole new media thing. And media dollars are not going into newspapers, okay? They're going into radio because radio's good and local. You're welcome, John Fuller. But a lot of the printed stuff is going to Google and it's going to Facebook. And you want to deny that, that's fine. But these companies are juggernauts, so don't deny it. And I think radio is wonderful because it's so local and it's a way we all can connect too. Okay? So if you take those combinations, I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, I hope you all have a wonderful week. I'm leaving for California toward the end of next week, and I'm looking forward to going down the coast. Originally, we were going to go inland to that beautiful park there, but it's so smoky there that we decided to do the coastal trip, and we're mapping it out right now. We're going to fly into San Fran, down the coast, spend a couple of days in L.A., and then we're going to head down to San Diego, and I got 4 or 5 days of IFG educational meetings where they'll bring in various experts. And they usually have really good speakers, so I'm really looking forward to it. And I love networking with the other guys and always trying to learn. All right, if you like my Retirement 10 Commandments, go to O'BrienRetired.com and email me, contact me, ask for the Retirement 10 Commandments. And if you'd like to meet, indicate that too also. Everybody have a great week. And talk to you soon. Bye-bye now.